Hey everybody, I'm Nick Patera, and you're listening to the Pixar Podcast.
To infinity and beyond!
So, how long is this going to take?
Squirrel!
You can't rush art.
No, good.
I never look back, darling. It distracts from the now.
What's the point of going out there? They'll only laugh at me.
A stranger from the outside.
Greetings.
Hello there, Pixar fans. Welcome again to another episode of the Pixar Podcast. This is episode number 122. ThePixarPodcast.com/122 is where you can find the show notes for this episode. I'm Derek Clements. Let's now step inside an animation dailies session at Pixar Animation Studios.
Next up is Denovan. He has his IP pass of Joy and Zenith on 53F and 53C.
This is a recording of a daily session on Inside Out. An animator is showing his work to the whole team, and Pete Docter, the director, is going to share his opinion.
Sadness, when I said don't touch any memories, that meant core memories most of all.
I like how she manhandles her. That's crazy. Do you think...
Where are you?
Oh, we're in the dark. Okay.
Could you
move it earlier so that her hand gets there just a little sooner? I'm talking like 4-6 frames, and then just have it slow at the very end so that we have a little bit more time to read the color change. Because I'm looking at her, and the point hopefully would be that we see, the blue, you know, and I feel like we're just shortchanging that a bit.
In these dailies presentations, the animators loop the animation over and over again so that everybody can scrutinize every detail.
Cool, so we'll just, if you can unbury that eye and maybe squish it so it's more of an oval on both of them, I think, just for directionality. Keep Joy's hand planted on Sadness's belly. And is that the only thing we talked about?
And then after a lot of hard work, you hear the thing that you want the director to say.
Yeah. Cool. Let's final it.
So this recording comes from the Inside Out press day at Pixar back in April this year. The animators gave a presentation about the animation on that film, and Tony Fuccelli was there. He showed us a cool thing, how he would actually draw on top of the screens of the computer animation as it was playing. Tony Fuccelli is a Disney animator. He's worked on classics, Little Mermaid, Aladdin, Lion King. He was brought on the Inside Out team to actually draw over the poses done by the computer animators. And so as he'd draw these 2D poses on top of the 3D poses, he would really infuse a sense of that 2D animation right into the work.
Yeah, so this is the sketch tool that we have, and it's kind of, this is a, see this tracing paper, virtual tracing paper. And in the spirit of this note, I would pick some spots to, you know, just to kind of cartoon her up a little, just kind of push her, juice her up a little bit more physically. So in this early stage, this blocking stage, it might be a little more gestural, the drawing. So in the case of this...
Inside Out, of course, has a really great cartoony feeling, and a lot of this comes from Tony Fuccelli.
Chest come out a little bit more, maybe push that rhythm right there, and then have maybe the shoulders...
So on today's episode, I'm going to play two interviews that I conducted that day, that press day back in April. The first one is with Tony Fuccelli and Jamie Rowe, directing animator. Jamie also did work on Colette from Ratatouille, which we talked about, and lots of other films as well. And after that interview with Jamie and Tony, we're going to hear an interview with Sean Krause, supervising animator on Inside Out, and Victor Nuvone, supervising animator on Inside Out. This episode is part one of a two-part series where I'm focusing on the animators at Pixar. The next part in the series is actually going to come out tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to publish part two featuring animators who worked on The Good Dinosaur. So tune in for that. And now here's my interview with first Jamie Rowe and Tony Fuccelli, and then Sean Krause and Victor Nuvone. Why do you love animation?
You go first.
Well, I loved animation since I was like 8 years old. Okay. I grew up on The Little Mermaid and a lot of the classical Disney films, and somehow watching those movies as a kid, I was already aware that I was connecting to these cartoon characters, and I could relate to them, and I believed in them, and I knew I was, like, being tricked. I knew there was a magic trick happening. But I loved that trick, and I really just, I wanted to be part of it. You know, I wanted to make people feel how I was feeling. And so that's what I'm passionate about, is kind of emoting through a character and really speaking to an audience.
Yeah, I agree. It's the magic trick. When I was a kid, I'd come home and watch these Warner Brothers cartoons. And to me, Bugs Bunny was a living creature. They were all real characters. And then I went to see Pinocchio, and it just floored me. Emotionally, it was such an incredible experience for me. And I thought, what is going on here? And then on top of that, I remember there was animation everywhere in the 70s on TV. We'd see those Harryhausen movies, Sinbad movies, and Jason and the Argonauts. And I'm looking at that, I'm like, what the heck is, you know, King Kong with the, and at the, you look at it now, it's a little crude, but it's incredible.
It's inventive.
It's inventive, and the acting was great. Harryhausen was a good actor with his puppets and stuff. Oh, cool. So I was obsessed with that too. I had a kind of overall geekery 2D, 3D, you know. At the time, there was no computer animation. There was, actually.
Yeah.
It was that hand that Ed had done. I didn't know about that hand, but and I think that was what hooked me. It's just the curiosity and just the fact that drawings are alive.
Yeah.
You can make a drawing, stack on another drawing, and then people will feel something. And yeah.
You two have done some great characters, not just on Inside Out. Colette, and Mufasa, and Aladdin as well, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so what did you learn?
But I stopped at Pinocchio. That's where I okay. I just got at the studio at Pinocchio.
Nice. Yeah. What did those experiences, how did you grow through doing those different characters? What did you learn from some of the characters you've done in the past?
I'll go first.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing, you know, when you're focused on one character for one film, you become almost obsessed with that character, and it's a different experience than when you're working sequentially. And both of them have their pluses and minuses, I think. In the hand-drawn world, it was almost a necessity, in a sense, to have character leads because of the drawing aspect of everything. But I really like the idea of the notion of sculpting a piece of action, you know, sequentially. You know, being able to do an ensemble, especially if you're doing a two-shot. The two characters talking to each other, if you're splitting that up, and we used to do that at Disney, and I used to be like, how are we going to do this? It's tough, you know, and on the other hand, there is that ego satisfaction when you have your own character, and I'm this guy, or whatever, or this gal. I played a woman, too, so. Yeah. But, you know, anyway.
Yeah, animators are the original motion capture people. Like,
yeah.
Maybe not. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. You could be any gender or animal or whatever.
Yeah, anything. Yeah. Do you think about that? Like, what did Colette teach you?
Wow. Colette was really, like, the first human character I animated on. Okay. And so, for me, it was a huge challenge, and I was terrified. I was kind of still new to the industry. You know, it was only my second film. And Brad Bird being at the helm of that was, like, terrifying but exciting at the same time. And I just wanted to, like, do everything I could for Brad because I respect him so much. But Colette just taught me a lot about subtlety and how less movement actually can sometimes mean more on the screen. And that's okay. Like, the less you do sometimes is more powerful. So she taught me a lot about that I've carried through to other movies. But honestly, every character I've worked on, I feel like I'm starting over with my learning curve. Sure. I'm like, you have to recalibrate. Every character is something different, something new. It's really hard to just bring something from another character to a different film. You almost can't. At least I personally can. I have to start over. So, yeah.
Okay, during the dailies presentation that you guys gave, you showed that an animator could animate kind of just part of it to see if it was working, and then they'd go in and do the details of the face and things like that. That seems pretty convenient. Is there anything, is that possible in 2D animation too? Is there anything like, is...
Well, yeah, it's the same process.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, and it's a little different in that, well, not so much. Well, you just do it with less drawings, and they would be scruffier drawings. So you would just do, you know, you could, if a scene required ultimately like 48 or 72 drawings, you could actually get the scene across in like 10. And they can be really rough, but when you shot them, you could see the scene.
Yeah.
And it's a similar type of process. And then it was just, then you would iterate from there, add more drawings. And
okay.
Similar
yeah.
kind of a
thing. Yeah. Okay. A lot of the listeners to the Pixar podcast are younger students. They want to maybe do animation, and they're wondering if it's even viable. Is this a thing that you can do for a career? What is the state of animation as an industry as you see it, and what is it like to get a job right now?
Oh, that's a good question. It's definitely hard to get a job in this industry no matter what. It takes a lot of work, a lot of effort, a lot of time. And I think probably currently it's probably more difficult because there's maybe a little less work out there. I'm not really sure. It feels like there's less. But I still think it's possible. And I still think there's a necessity for animators in all sorts of different industries as well.
Did you add anything?
I agree. I mean, it's always an ebb and flow. When I first went to school, it was in 1983, and the industry was like looking pretty grim, and you know, and we had instructors that had been around the golden age, and there are these guys saying, you're never, you know, guys, get out of this right now while you can, get another career. But being young and excited, you just don't think about that, and that's the best way to go into it, I think, is ignore that stuff, because it's a roller coaster ride. The industry is always going to be kind of hot and cold, and it's best to just dive in head first and almost put blinders on in a sense.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What changed in the late 80s? What made it come back up? What was that resurgence?
I think in terms of feature animation, the films got better.
Okay.
I think that helped. I think there was a little bit of that after Walt died. Things at the Disney studios sort of stagnated a little bit. And then when Eisner and Jeffrey came in and they revitalized that department, things, you know, Little Mermaid, I think, had a huge impact, and it kind of grew from there.
There's a lot of good animated films now. Is it maybe the opposite problem? Are there too many? Is that a problem?
Well, there could be. You know, it's
some truth to that.
Yeah, you know? Saturation.
Yeah.
Where it used to be an event, you'd see an animated film.
There's so much of it. Maybe audiences are like not as surprised by it or excited by it. I don't know.
Yeah, because there used to be, I mean, in the 15 years ago, when you get one, maybe three films a year or four?
There'd be a huge
big release
up to it, too.
Yeah. Excited. And now how many do we get a year now?
Oh, my gosh, I don't know. Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
All right, okay, final question. Who is Pete Doctor?
I have no idea. No, I'm kidding.
No. He's a father. He is a director.
What is his style? What is he like?
He's a great guy to work with. I mean, we all just adore him. And we were just talking about how even he is. You know, I know that he has moods. We all do. But he doesn't bring that to the daily, you know. And there's that consistency and that sense that we're in good hands.
It's like a warm blanket on a cold day. You just walk into dailies and you're like, everything's all right.
Yeah.
Pete's here. And he has that way about him where everything's in control.
Yeah.
He has that ability to kind of make you feel all right. And you also trust his sense of artistry, trust his sense of performance and storytelling. You know,
yeah, you trust his taste and you trust that... I had a thought and I just forgot about it. That happens.
That's okay.
See, I've been around a long time.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. This was great to talk with you. And congratulations on the film. It just turned out so well from the part that we've seen.
Okay. Excited about it. Thank you.
Thank you. It is so great to meet you guys. And congratulations on Inside Out. This looks like a fantastic film.
Thank you.
Thanks. We think so.
We love it.
We're lucky to work with Pete and Jonas.
Yeah. Well, what is it like to work with Pete? I've been asking everybody, who is Pete Doctor? Maybe we'll start with that one with you guys.
Man-child.
No. Very tall man-child.
Yes, yes. No, I mean, he's a character animator at heart. Everything he does comes from a sincere place, and he's a great collaborator, I think. He's always opened, hearing ideas and so a good, really good guy. And Jonas too.
Yeah. And I think Pete has a knack for coming up for these unique and whimsical scenes and worlds that you can only do through animation. You know, he's a real animator's animator. Like, you know, whether it's seeing a house lifted up by balloons or seeing these characters made out of energy surrounded by these multicolored memories, you know, it just, he creates these worlds that you want to be in and you want to animate in.
Cool. Awesome. So collaboration is, you mentioned that, and that's a, it seems like a huge part of how you make a film here at Pixar and other places. What is, what exactly is that like, the collaboration to make a Pixar film?
Well, it's a huge part of our culture. I mean, it bears overstating, because it's not this way everywhere, as we find out from people. As people come from other studios, sure, and they tell us what it's like. Uh-huh. But we've gotten to this point where we're pretty used to kind of putting our egos aside and, you know, making suggestions, offering up ideas, you know, having these discussions, trying things. Sometimes we fail, sometimes we don't. But the idea being that, you know, hopefully the best idea will rise to the top. Mm-hmm. And it's the same in daily as every day with Pete. You know, Pete is running the show. He's making the final decisions, but when a shot that an animator's working on is looping up there on the screen, everybody's throwing in ideas of how to make it better, or asking questions about, you know, do we believe this, or is there a better way to do that? So, and having all those voices really makes the final product stronger, and I think that's a kind of thing that only works when everybody's actually in the same room together. There's a feedback that happens there.
Yeah, okay. Anything to add to that?
I agree.
Okay. Could any one person, if you had enough time, if time wasn't an issue, could any one person make an entire Pixar film? Is there any?
Oh, it'd be, it'd be really difficult, yes, yeah, to do every character. Impossible, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's the technical challenge of doing that, just because it takes so long to do animation, but also, you know, I think when you're limited to one person's ideas for a full feature film, every time I work with the other animators, they're all bringing so many ideas that I never would have thought of before, and I think, well, even if somebody did, could it possibly be as good as if, you know, 10 other people were contributing their ideas and their points of view to it.
Yeah. Okay. What was the most satisfying moment of production so far? So I guess it's over. So most satisfying moment of production of the film.
Yeah. I think it wasn't a moment, but it was just the fact that Pete and Jonas led such a positive crew from the top down.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
It really created a fun atmosphere. You know, Pete's wonderful and we really love working with him, but I think Jonas is kind of an unsung hero too, because as a producer, you know, he could be a real whipcracker and a real naysayer, but he was always saying yes to us. Mm. He genuinely loves animation and he wanted to support us to do the kind of new things that we wanted to do, like bringing Tony Fucilli on to draw over our scenes and creating these new rigs that we had never done before and new tools and letting us experiment and try new things. So he was really a great supporter of us through the entire show.
Why do you love animation?
For me, it's a couple things, but one is, you know, it's my childhood. Those are the films that I really fell in love with, and it really sparked my imagination. But it's also you're delivering a story that you couldn't tell the same way in another medium. You know, you're able to bring this fantasy, this illusion to the screen, and it captures me in particular in a way that, you know, you can have as much, you know, computer graphics in a live action film. It just doesn't feel the same. Not that it's better or worse, it's just different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, animation represents this confluence of different art forms that are all interesting to me. Like, it involves acting, it involves drawing, it involves storytelling and composition. And all those things are things that I already enjoyed doing. And then when I finally tried animation, I was like, oh my God, I feel like that, you know, I was made for this.
Yeah.
And it's still so satisfying every time, you know, I do a couple drawings or I pose a couple keys on the computer and I see the character start to move and come to life. I still get a kick out of that every time.
We're also too ugly to be actors, so it allows us to be actors.
Yeah.
Nice. A lot of people have favorite animated films. My question isn't actually what's your favorite non-Pixar animated film. It's what's your favorite scene of an animated film? Do you have a favorite scene of an animated film that really speaks to you? Maybe it's very instructive of something, or it just gives you a lot of pleasure.
Well, that's a hard one, but I think the ones that jump to my mind are the penguin scene in Mary Poppins.
Okay.
That, there's something about the way those characters moved and what they did with that, and just the fun of it,
yeah,
that you know, I think about all the time.
Yeah.
And then there's just stuff in Tangled, to be more recent, that just watching the way they treated her hair, yeah, and the joy and the appeal of that, every inch of that movie, it's just gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
It's got to be a non-Pixar film, you said?
Well, I'm curious to know what a Pixar one would be too, but just any animated film.
I'd start with like one of my favorite animated films is Spirited Away.
Okay.
There's so much I love about that film, but in particular the scene where they're cleaning all the junk out of the river god.
Yeah.
That scene always blows me away.
It's beautiful.
And then like thinking about the Incredibles, the scene on the jet when the missiles are about to blow up the jet, and Helen's trying to protect her kids, and at the last minute she just stretches out and shields them with her body. There was something just so primal about that it brings me to tears, like almost even just thinking about it.
Yeah.
It was so amazing and emotional.
And the bathroom sequence in Iron Giant.
Cars 2?
Iron Giant, when Hogarth's in the bathroom and they're trying to get the door.
That's pretty amazing.
what do these scenes mean to you? When you think about you know, your job, you're in the thick of it all the time, and it's not easy work to do animation and to be supervising and directing others in animation. What motivates you to do it? And is it scenes like this? Is it being able to create art like on that level of the stuff you just named?
For me, it's a thrill of like watching the performance come to life. Sometimes it's a happy accident. You'll do something and, you know, a glitch will happen, and you think that's really fun. They're exciting, and it's beyond what you've expected to do.
Yeah.
But when you know watching something unfold, and you kind of see it come together, and you get that little chill of like, okay, this is working. That's a real thrill for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it's the feeling of being involved in something that you think could be great.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very spoiled here to have that opportunity quite a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, just to be like, to hear the original pitch, in this case from Pete, and think, God, that's something I really want to work on. And then to see it come to fruition, and then to finally see it in completion, I'm like, wow, I feel like we really did something special here. And I hope everybody else feels the same way. There's a real satisfaction and excitement in that.
Did you give Victor the questions beforehand? His answers are kicking ass today. So
They're all rehearsed.
We had an arrangement beforehand.
Yep.
No, anything else to add about the process? Just what's your favorite memory about working on this film? That's my last question.
You go first.
Oh gosh.
See, that's why he's good at answering. He goes second all the time.
Yeah, I have time to think while you're talking. You know, we had some really fun moments with the team, actually. I think it was like the non-work stuff where we did something called the Mind Games, which is kind of like a little recreational exercises where we broke up, where we had like Team Fear and Team Joy and Team Sadness. So we would have stupid little competitions like, you know, water balloon tossing or running obstacle courses and just the stupid shenanigans that we would get up to just to relieve stress. We had so much fun. And we had, you know, such great people on our team. They're great to hang out with in addition to working with them.
Yeah,
and again, it's hard to pick a moment because it was just a great production. But I think one of the most memorable things is working that closely with Tony, because to touch back into that and to really reconnect with the 2D, which is how a lot of us learned, and to dig into all that was just a real great opportunity, and it was like going back to school.
Cool. Definitely, yeah. Working with Tony is like, I don't know anything, and I really want to learn how to 2D animate now because you make it look so much fun. It is fun. I mean, I've done it rough, you know, not nearly as well as Tony, but it's so much fun to be able to draw something and have it come to life. I want to do more of that now.
Mm-hmm. So satisfying. Well, guys, thank you so much. It was really great to meet you, and again, congratulations on the film.
Okay, Squirt here will now give you a rundown of proper exiting technique.
Mom, it's just my ball.
Don't let it happen again.
Yes, well, I'll try to be less careless.
It's got this kind of squirty, melty, it's not really a smoky taste. It's a certain, it's kind of like a... It's kind of like this
ba-boom
zap kind of taste. Don't you think? What would you call that flavor?
Lightning?
Don't look at the light!
I can't help it. It's so beautiful.
My name is Doug. I have just met you, and I love you.
Gone! It's all gone. Oh, it's gone. Bye-bye. Woo, see ya.
Thank you for listening to the Pixar Podcast.